puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Shanalee.
So what are we discussing this week?
Today, we're visiting a place on the shore of Lake Winnipeg, about 4 miles north of Gimli. It's the former site of the Lakeside Fresh Air Camp.
So what is a fresh air camp?
Well, it's a place where poor urban children were taken out of doors to experience the healthful benefits of fresh air and sunshine. The practice was started in the 1890s in England and the United States, and the first fresh air camp here in Manitoba was established in Winnipeg on the Norwood Flats in 1900. It was later moved to Sturgeon Creek near the present-day Grace Hospital, and in 1911, it moved to a site near Gimli on Lake Winnipeg. That camp was renamed Camp Sparling in honor of Methodist minister Joseph Sparling. But not to be outdone by those Methodists, in 1913, the Presbyterians opened their own fresh air camp near Gimli called Camp Robertson, named for Reverend James Robertson. The Roman Catholics, well, they opened Camp Morton in 1920, named for priest Thomas Morton, and the Salvation Army opened Sandy Hook Camp, named for its location, in 1921.
And when was the Lakeside Fresh Air Camp established?
It was founded in May of 1921 by a group of prominent Winnipeg businessmen on the former lakefront estate of banker Norman Leslie. Like the other fresh air camps, it too had a religious affiliation, this time with the Anglican Church. In addition to the original Leslie Cottage, the founders built dormitories to house up to 50 children at a time, along with a dining hall and a kitchen. There was an indoor play area when the weather wasn't good, but for the most part, the kids spent their days outdoors, playing on the 15 acres of the camp property and, of course, swimming in Lake Winnipeg.
So you say that Lakeside was affiliated with the Anglican Church. Did the kids who came to the camp have to be Anglicans?
No. In fact, the camp had no restrictions as to race or creed. The campers were chosen by Winnipeg social workers on the basis of those who would benefit the most from several days in the countryside. Historians today think the fresh air camps served two purposes other than religious indoctrination. They promoted public health among poor children, and maybe more significantly, they sought to instill in those children a striving for middle-class status. I think the idea was that after having had enjoyable experiences at the lake, they would want more from their lives and therefore would work hard to get it.
And where did the money come from?
Well, the management committee of the camp consisted of several well-heeled Winnipeggers with deep pockets and powerful connections, especially in the banking and grain industries. You know, there were fundraising campaigns run by the Gyro Club of Winnipeg and the Gimli Kinsmen. There were also tag days where men would buy lapel pins sold by women and girls. One of the first institutional supporters of the Lakeside Camp was the newly established Winnipeg Foundation, and of course it's around with us still today. And farmers in the Gimli area donated a lot of food needed to feed the children. Essentially, the Lakeside Fresh Air Camp was a community effort to give poor children who might otherwise never get outside the city an opportunity like the ones enjoyed by the children of more affluent families.
And this was a seasonal facility, right?
Indeed. It operated from June to August each summer. Kids would arrive by train, sometimes accompanied by their mothers, and they'd stay for periods ranging from 11 to 18 days, then back to Winnipeg by train. The camp buildings, well, they were simple wood frame structures not meant for winter occupancy. By the 1960s, the Lakeside Camp had about a dozen buildings, including a kitchen and dining hall, dormitories, toilets, and a whole series of outbuildings and cottages for staff and larger groups.
And what kind of staff did the Lakeside Camp have?
Well, in the early days, children were supervised by what was called a matron. And in an early Earth newspaper article, it described the matron as, and this is a direct quote, a woman of strong motherly instincts who will see to the comfort, cleanliness, security, and feeding of the children. There was also a nurse to attend to the inevitable bumps and bruises and several paid and volunteer staff. So that by the 1960s, The camp had a staff of 14 people.
Now, do we know how many kids visited the camp?
Well, unfortunately, we only have some spotty records from the 1960s and 70s. They're preserved at the Provincial Archives. They tell us that in 1967, a total of 6,500 campers attended Lakeside. So if we assume that roughly the same number attended every year through the 56-year history of the camp, which of course may or may not be the case, there could be over 300,000 children who enjoyed a visit to the Lakeside Camp.
And what caused Lakeside Camp to close?
Well, unfortunately, those archival records reveal that financial decline was suffered through the 1960s and early 1970s. Basically, the costs were rising to operate the camp. And as a result, the camp lost money for several years in a row. A two-week stay in 1958 had cost $36 per camper. But by 1973, that number had nearly doubled. Well, and in fact, the private and the public donations were just not coming in like they used to do. Now, two-thirds of the camp's operating revenue came from government grants. The rural municipality of Gimli, which had previously given the camp an exemption from municipal taxes, began to collect those taxes in 1967. And you know, that seems to have been the final straw that broke the camel's back, because in 1968, the following year, the Lakeside property was sold to the provincial government. In 1975, the land was leased to the Society of Crippled Children and Adults. They'd been using the camp for several years, but in 1977, Lakeside ceased operations. And in fact, it was the last of the fresh air camps on Lake Winnipeg. Camp Sparling had closed in 1974, as did the nearby Camp Robertson. Camp Morton and Sandy Hook Camp, well, they closed in the early 1970s. So today, the former site of Camp Morton is a provincial park, and, well, some of its buildings have been preserved as a reminder of this period in Manitoba's history.
So what's left at the site of the Lakeside Fresh Air Camp?
Well, all the buildings have been moved away or demolished, but you can still see concrete foundations here and there. The forest, well, it's been mostly reclaiming the site, so you really have to bushwhack to see a lot. But the most conspicuous reminder of Lakeside Camp is a cenotaph that once stood on the grounds. It was unveiled in 1922 by Lieutenant Governor of Manitoba James Akins, and then the idea was to commemorate 120 employees of the Union Bank of Canada who had been killed during military service in the First World War. After the Lakeside Camp closed, that cenotaph was moved to Camp Morton, where you can still see it standing there today.
Really interesting. So, Gordon, what are we going to be talking about in 2 weeks from now?
Well, at one time, the name Blankstein was synonymous with the practice of architecture in Manitoba. Four members of one family, a father and three of his children, were notable architects through much of the 20th century. So next time, we're going to look at the designing Blanksteins and their architectural legacy that includes many iconic buildings around Winnipeg and indeed around the province.
I'm looking forward to that one.
We'll talk next time.
Yeah.
Bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.